One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila. And yes, we're back. This is Love University. I'm a clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And this is Love University, where we learn how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. Now, I recently took a little hiatus. I was down with my family on a little birthday trip, which is really great. Connected with some wonderful people. And we're very excited. This summer is really going to bring a lot of great things for our show. We're actually having our one-year anniversary, and we're very pleased that our numbers are up. A lot of people are listening to the show. We're having some great guests. And today's topic is something that's very personal to me, and I believe it will be personal to you too. It is personal spirituality, your path to joy and inner power. And the term spirituality has a lot of connotations. Some people think of a religion or a formal aspect, but our definition is a little bit different. We talk about personal spirituality as a belief in a higher nature, something that guides, heals, protects, and loves. Now, you may call that God, spirit, nature, essence. You may have a different spiritual practice. But the good thing about this aspect of spirituality is that it raises your level. It helps you have gratitude, optimism, and love. And we need this kind of thing in our life. You know, we live in a difficult society sometimes. There's conflict and war, other obstacles. So the idea of having a spiritual nature, believing in something beyond yourself, and people do believe in something beyond themselves. Most people do, whether it's their family, it could be money, power for some people, it could be a higher force, a good force, a spiritual nature. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, some research shows that we actually have biological programming that indicates whether we're going to be spiritual or not. People that, for example, are in a worship state have more activity in the frontal lobe of their brain, the part of the brain that deals with consciousness and thinking. People who meditate frequently also have a thicker frontal lobe. And also those that engage in worship have more of the brain chemical called serotonin, which is the feel-good chemical that makes you feel joyous and rapture. So there is a biological aspect or mechanism to spirituality to a certain extent. And the other reason that we need spirituality is that it can help us find meaning in life, to realize that there's something out there, something higher than us that has good intentions for us, a good feeling toward us, and that our life is not just a random occurrence. It's not just living and dying. It's not just a biological thing. But there is more meaning to it. It's not just a random, here on earth for a time and then you're gone. And it gives comfort and security to know that there is something out there, whatever path that you follow. Now, people who are spiritual often have benefits. For example, health. Research shows that people that have a high level of spirituality often live longer, up to 7 years longer than the average person. They're less likely to die after a serious illness. And they have a stronger immune system because they believe in something more than themselves. The faith that they have can bring positive results to their physical body. Also, a sense of spirituality can help society. Research shows that individuals who have a spiritual background are less likely to be juvenile delinquents as adolescents, less likely to engage in teenage drug use, and as adults are less likely to commit crimes. There's more of a moral accountability. There's a higher purpose for their life. Also, spirituality, having the strong sense of that, can help you with psychological benefits. For example, increase your self-esteem, help you be more optimistic, reducing your depression, your stress, and giving you satisfaction despite what happens to you in life. Now, sometimes we have obstacles and problems. For example, we lose our jobs, our relationship, maybe someone close to us dies, or we have physical illness. When we have these kind of unexpected situations or problems, it sometimes can throw us off balance. So having a sense of spirituality can give us a certain calmness, and we believe there's a force out there, where we call it God, nature, essence, that it wants the best for us and is going to help us. And when we have that, we can get over those difficult situations. We can have more confidence that we can overcome. There's something on our side. It also can enhance your thinking ability. Spirituality can help you think more clearly, focus more, have a larger perspective on life so you can see things in a different way. And even can improve the workplace. Now, I did a study presentation early this year on compassion in the workplace, how having these spiritual elements of compassion, gratitude, and empathy can actually improve a work situation. Because sometimes you might have a difficult boss or people that are conflictual in a work situation. A lot of demands, even stress. So having a sense of spirituality can be a great benefit. It can be kind of a protective mechanism to protect you from negativity, from the criticism and negativity of others. So simple things like being grateful for your position and being able to help people, being compassionate, being empathetic to your coworkers can be a great benefit for you. So we realize that there are really powerful benefits, where you can have inner power and joy if you're a spiritual person. So how do you develop that? let's talk a little bit about some of the ways to develop your spirituality. And again, we're not just talking about religion, because you could be religious and spiritual. So you have a formal practice, and you also have the spiritual nature. We're talking about these qualities of compassion, gratitude, patience, and things like that. Or you could be religious but not spiritual. Maybe you follow a code, but you don't really live a life that's spiritual, you know, the kindness and compassion. Or you can be both religious and spiritual. You might have your formal religion, and also you have these elements that we call spirituality that help you live better, happier, and help others. So the first thing we'll look at is to choose a spiritual practice, something that you do on a regular basis. Now, again, it could be going to a church, temple, synagogue, mosque, depending on your religion. Or it could be simply doing an activity that brings you closer to your higher source, to the higher power, whatever you call it, spirit, essence, or God, or nature. Now, something as simple as gardening, for example. Some people love to garden, and they get into nature and their backyard or whatever there are, and they have that feeling of calmness and peace. It could be playing a musical instrument, hiking, yoga, martial arts, having a pet, a dog, for example, that gives unconditional love, and spending time with that animal can be a spiritual practice. So we can define spirituality in a very common way, in that we are communing with a higher sense of who we are, and it can be a very everyday activity. There is a famous psychologist named Mihaly. Mihaly studied the concept called flow. Flow is when you're in this state where you just basically lose track of yourself, your time, you know, it's a joyous state. It's kind of like what we call the runner's high, when someone's running and they lose track of the time and they lose track of all their worries and fears. They become one with their activity, with their movement. So in a sense, people that are what we call self-actualized, people that live to their highest potential, often have a lot of these so-called flow or peak moments when they have joy, ecstasy, passion, and they're basically connected with their activity. So find, again, a practice. For some people, it might be meditation, prayer, singing with other people in a spiritual sense, or just listening to music, writing, art, physical activity, being with animals or children in nature. Whatever it is, do it on a regular basis. And it can give you a lot of benefits. For example, your mood will increase. You'll be happier. You will have better focus and attention. You'll be able to look at the big picture and not be so worried about the small little things in life, the nuisances, the traffic jams. And you'll have more joy and love in your life when you're able to develop a spiritual practice. So you want to do it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and be consistent. It's kind of like your muscles. You know, we go to the gym maybe 3 times a week, 5 times a week. We work on our muscles, we work out. But how often do we work out on our spirituality? Whether it's reading a spiritual book, listening to a podcast, a YouTube channel, reading a book, praying, meditating, doing something that will enhance ourselves, even helping the homeless, doing an act of kindness. These are all spiritual practices. Another thing we can do to improve and raise our level of spirituality is to, what I call, give up the lower for the higher. So we have in our life certain bad habits, maybe patterns that are negative, self-defeating patterns. Maybe we smoke or drink too much or eat too much. Maybe we get involved with the wrong kind of people that are harmful for us, maybe even abusive. And those are things that keep us in a lower state of spirituality. But to get to the higher state, we need to give up the lower. So if we want more patience, we need to give up our impatience, for example. Now, there was a storekeeper who had a very interesting store. He had a sign out front that said, "Trades accepted. Exchange anger for compassion, rushing for relaxation, selfishness for love, and sadness for happiness." Now, one time he had a very curious customer come in, and he asked, "Wow, this is an amazing store you have. How does this work?" "Well, honestly, I don't really get a lot of customers," said the storekeeper, "because some people, first of all, don't believe in things like compassion and happiness and kindness, or they don't value it. Others think they already have it, and they actually get a little angry that I'm offering to trade for them. And even others try to sell me their depression and their anxiety. I'm looking for a good customer. Could you be one?" And even though it seems very obvious, why not do that? Why not exchange selfishness for compassion or sadness for happiness? A lot of people don't do that. It's like they're caught up in their negativity. It's like a false excitement. Those negative people that we hang out with that maybe even attack us or criticize us, we're kind of like addicted to it in some way. Unconsciously, perhaps our self-esteem is lower than it should be. We don't believe in ourselves. And we hear these negative thoughts in our head. You're not good enough. You're not lovable enough. So we need to exchange that and basically give that up for something more positive. Now, one way to do that is the spiritual practice known as fasting. In terms of food, giving up some food, eating a little bit less, and developing other traits. For example, you can give up one meal a day and instead of eating, you can meditate or pray or journal or do a spiritual practice. So you start to realize that you rely on something beyond yourself for sustenance, this higher nature, this source, this power, again, God, nature, essence, whatever you call it. And that taking that fast helps you become more open to your humanness, that there is something beyond you. There's not just you doing everything that you can do, but there's other something else behind you helping you. Another thing we can do is take a technology fast. We live in a society where everyone's on their iPads, their computers, their cell phones, internet. And it can be very useful in certain ways to get information and connect with people, but it can also be a distraction. People get so caught up in sometimes negative news items and gossip and things that take away their time and energy from other important matters. So it is useful at times to take a technology fast, turn off your computers, your phone for 4 hours for a period of time. Of course, if there's an emergency, you'll be able to pick something up. But it's important to detach yourself from that constant stimulation, that mental stimulation of electronics, where people want you to respond quickly to a text or an email, and they may become angry if you don't. So again, you feel pressure and stress. So learning how to detach yourself can be a positive way to develop more joy and relaxation and peace. At the same time, learn how to throw away junk in life. Now, junk could be negative mental thoughts. I'm not good enough, I'm smart enough, attractive enough, lovable enough. Give up one of those thoughts. And in this place, put something like, I am lovable, I am strong, I am a worthy person. And you can do this in a parallel process. For example, let's say you have junk in your house. Now, you might in your garage have clothes you don't use and equipment that's obsolete. Throw that away, you know, put it in the trash. And at the same time, see yourself as being liberated. Your mind's being opened up. You're feeling more positive and you have a clearer mind when you can throw away junk in your life, which is physical junk, but also mental junk. There's a woman that was cheated on by her previous two boyfriends and she had become cynical about men and I don't trust men. So what she did is that she actually wrote the names of the men down and put cheaters in red, bright ink. And then she put them in a fire, a little wastebasket fire, and burned them. Of course, you know, she didn't burn the house, which was good. But she was able to throw everything away. And that relieved a lot of her anxiety and resentment toward men that she dated. And she realized, you know, as she did this, I am no longer going to be with cheaters. I'm going to find men who are loyal and true. So by burning away the negativity of the past and these other men that did this to her, she was able to liberate herself. She threw away her mental junk and was able to start and eventually got involved in a very high level quality relationship. Another thing we can do to raise our spirituality, this is something that people actually do without even realizing it, is to savor life, to feel grateful for everything that you do and to share that with others. Now, we talk about this a lot on the show, is one of the best things you can do to raise your level of happiness is to keep a gratitude journal. Write down 3 things you're grateful for every day in a journal and then read it to yourself aloud. For example, I'm alive, I'm breathing. I'm grateful for my loved ones, my animal, my job, my career. I'm grateful for being able to walk outside on a sunny day, hear the birds sing, for my children, for my spouse. Whatever it is that you're grateful for, write this down. And what this does, research shows, is that it reduces your depression by 30% and increases your sleep by 40% if you just do this for a few weeks. The other thing about savoring is not just being grateful for it, but also telling other people the good things that happened to you in life, the raise that you got at work, the great career accomplishment, maybe the wonderful new person you just met, the experience you had on traveling. And we actually do this on Facebook, for example, on Instagram. People often do this. They're at a restaurant, they take pictures, let's say, of the sushi they ate, you know, and they share it with their friends. Although it seems a little bit silly, but in some ways, it's actually a positive thing because you actually are saying to your friends and they say to you, hey, look, I'm enjoying this, I'm having a great time. What do you think about this? So by having other people respond to you, you can savor it even more. You can relish it. You can enjoy it even more because you have people that are behind you, that are supporting you as you enjoy this. So again, that's a great way to really enjoy life and to feel grateful for all that you have. Another important strategy for raising your spirituality, and again, spirituality is a very personal thing. It's based on these elements of feeling good about life and about others and that, you know, something good is going to happen in your life. It's called forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is something we've also talked about, forgiving other people, obviously, for things they've done to you, but also, more importantly, forgiving yourself. And in the book, The 3 Secrets of Happiness, which I wrote, I talk about that. The idea that self-forgiveness is such a powerful concept. When we forgive ourselves, we break the ties of the past, the ropes that bind us, the regret. regret can be such a horrible condemnation of yourself. I shouldn't have stayed in that relationship, that abusive relationship. I should have left it earlier. Or maybe I should have stayed with that one person that was really wonderful for me. Or I should have left that job I hated. Or I should have stayed in that job or career, and maybe I would have been much better off. But those regrets do nothing to help you. In fact, what they do is they create a weakness in you psychologically, in that you feel bad about yourself because of what you did in the past, the mistake. And as a result, you may repeat the same error that you did in the past because you feel weak, you feel you don't deserve better. So for example, you have a diet and then you ate a little bit of that chocolate cake, and the regret thought in your head says, wait a minute, you blew this. You know, you had this diet, you really can never keep the weight off. Just go ahead and have a little more of that cake. You know, it's right in there, you know, finish it off and go back to your old eating ways, enjoy. Now you may start doing that and now you feel even worse about it. So you keep repeating the same negative pattern. So regret keeps you tied to your negative past, to your weakness, to your feelings of inferiority or inadequacy. So to break that habit, you need to say, wait a minute. Okay, I did go back on my diet, but I'm going to go forward now. I'm going to keep improving myself. I'm going to exercise more, eat healthier. And that's just one little step backward. I'm going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 more steps forward, and I'm going to change these negative patterns. So forgiveness of self can be a tremendous thing, to be self-compassionate, to help you get back on the track to whatever you want to accomplish, whether it's relationships, dieting, work situations, personal health. And again, it is a spiritual aspect because you are moving beyond self-limitation, which really is what we're talking about. Another interesting way to develop spirituality, this is something that a lot of people may have thought about but don't really know much about. It's called lucid dreaming, which is being aware in your dreams. Now, there was a great movie a while back, I believe it was called Inception, in which people are in a dream and they become awake in the dream and they can change it and do whatever they want. Because when you're in a dream, it feels like reality. It feels like, you know, that's you. So if you can transform it and become anything, that would be an amazing feeling. And it's a way to tap into what Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, called collective unconscious, that part of us that connects with our previous civilizations, you know, previous societies, even in a spiritual way, things that we're not aware of that have occurred in the past that come to us in our dreams. So I'm going to give you a little exercise right now. And Reggie, you can help me with this, my engineer. This is a technique for lucid dreaming. So you can actually become a lucid dreamer if you don't do this naturally, where you can do anything you want in your dream. You can go to Hawaii, you can fly like a bird, you can eat all the chocolate cake you want and never get fat. You can be the best musician in the world, whatever you want to be in your dream, and it feels like a reality. So what you're going to do is you're going to repeat this phrase to yourself out loud several times a day. It goes like this. I'm dreaming. I'm awake. I can do anything I want. Reggie, repeat that to me.
I'm dreaming.
I'm awake.
I'm awake.
I can do anything I want.
I can do anything I want.
Okay. Reggie, if you could do anything you wanted, what would that be? Give me an example.
Like, even beyond the laws of physics would allow?
Yes, wow. Yeah. You can go to Mars. You can meditate. You can transform yourself into a bird. Tell me something you would like to do.
Well, off the top of my head, I would like to fly. Just see it.
Okay, fly with your wings, right? With your hands.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now you're flapping like that. I can see that you are a flyer. Okay. But yeah, actually, you know, that's one of the most popular dreams. People, they can fly. It's a feeling of elation. So what you can do is that you repeat this to yourself every day, 10 times a day, for example, and there's going to be a point in one of your dreams at night where you're going to actually wake up in the dream and you say, wait a minute, I'm dreaming, I'm awake, I can do anything I want. For example, let's say the monster's coming at you, and you can, and the monster is maybe your boss that you don't like. You can shrink him into a little bug and he can disappear into dust, and you can then get on top of a big imaginary airplane and start flying to Mars. And, you know, eat all the chocolate chips that you want and do whatever you want. And diamonds can rain on you. So I want you guys to try this week. This is a very interesting exercise. Will you try it, Reggie?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Because you can do, again, anything that you want. And people in the Stanford University Sleep Laboratory, they actually hook them up to monitors. And they actually do lucid dreaming all the time. And they measure the brain waves. This is a way that people can actually develop lucid dreaming ability. And, again, it's in touch with your spirituality. Something that's far beyond yourself that you don't even know. Dreams can give you insight, meaning. They can give you, sometimes people believe in prophetic dreams, that there are things that you dream about to happen in the future. Now, a lot of things we don't know about, but it's really fascinating to go deeper into this realm of your subconscious mind. So lucid dreaming, another aspect of spiritual development is acting on your intuition, or what the Eastern philosophers call the hara. The hara in martial arts and Eastern philosophy is a point 2 inches below your navel that's the center of your power and balance. For example, martial artists to focus on the hara in their 2 inches below their navel cannot be pushed. You can push them, and even a huge man cannot push them off balance. And the hara represents the word stomach, which means your gut instinct. So for example, your gut is that part of you that knows what's right, the intuition. You might meet someone and you realize, I don't like this person, something about them. Even though they seem very nice, maybe they're a bad person, eventually you'll find out, or vice versa. Maybe they weren't your type in terms of interest and attraction, but you know, there's something about them that you like. There's a pleasantness and kindness, and then maybe they turn out to be a great friend or relationship partner. Or a business deal. Maybe you feel this is gonna be the best deal of my life and you sense it and it becomes a great deal. Or maybe part of you senses something wrong and you don't follow through on it. Now again, besides intuition, you wanna obviously do your due diligence, you know, investigate facts and, you know, analyze things. Don't just go by gut feeling all the time, but at the end, your gut can actually tell you perhaps what you need to do. It can make you very decisive. So that developing the intuition can be a very powerful part of spirituality. Again, you get a sense from something higher. Again, it could be God or some other aspect that's beyond yourself, a spiritual aspect that's telling you what to do. And connected to that is a concept called synchronicity, which means meaningful coincidences. Now, Carl Jung, the psychologist, also talked about this concept in which that things that happen to you may have a meaning behind it. It's not just random, that may be designed by a higher order, again, by God or some other spiritual force. For example, you may lose your cell phone, and then the person that finds it may become a friend, a romantic partner, or even a business associate just because you lost your phone. Had you not lost it, which at the time was a horrible thing for you, you would never have met this wonderful person that maybe even changed your life. So those little coincidences, little things that happen can have a very meaningful aspect to it, a spiritual aspect. So being in touch with that, being open to that. When you're out there doing things, you're meeting people, realize this person maybe can help me in many ways, or I can help them. There can be a big difference in my life based on that. As a result, you'll be more open to new experiences, to meeting new people, because you realize that little things can become big things. Small so-called coincidences can lead to greater connections and greater things in life. Another thing that you can do to develop spirituality in your life is to create an empty space. Now, in our lives, we many times, our mind doesn't have an empty space. We have a full mind full of thoughts and worries, and I got to pay bills, and I have to do this, or I have to do that. This is called the monkey mind in Eastern philosophy. You know, that little chattering mind that you have with all the thoughts. That's why it's hard for people to get to sleep at night, because their mind is always running 100 miles an hour. So it's very important to practice empty space, which means to sit down quietly in a place with your eyes closed, breathe deeply, and just let the thoughts come into your mind without focusing on any thoughts. Some people call this meditation, they call it mindfulness. Whatever you call it, it's a good idea to practice this on a daily basis, 10 to 15 minutes a day. Think about basically nothing in particular, just let thoughts come into your mind. Once there was a great philosopher, a wise man, who was very famous throughout the region. And a great king wanted to find out about this man he had heard so much about. So he went up to the mountain where this wise man lived, and this philosopher, who was very content, very happy, and helped many people. And he asked him, what is the secret to your happiness, to your wisdom? Why is it that you know so much? I mean, you don't have a lot of money. You don't have a lot of fame in terms of material ways, but yet people come to you. Why? The philosopher looked at the king in a smiling way, and he said, simple, I contemplate eternity. And the king asked him, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that I look at everything that's happened until this point in the world, the billions of people that have lived before me and the millions of years that have passed, and the millions of years that will pass after I die and leave the earth, and the billions of people that will live after me. In between is my slice of eternity, my life. And because of that, I feel grateful and loving every day. Because nothing else really matters. You have this small slice of eternity in which you're alive. You can do so many things. You can love, you can help, you can create, you can contribute. And that's all you have. And if you think about it, it's almost like being on a vacation. Think of it as a spiritual vacation, your life on earth. If you look at the time before you, millions of years, and the time after you, millions of years after you're dead, your 80, 90 years is only like a little one-week vacation. Maybe it's 5 hours. But in that time, you can do so much. You can enjoy life, you can experience, you can create children and teach them and leave a legacy for yourself. So that's a wonderful way to think about that. So let's do that right now, Reggie. I want you to help me with this and everyone at home. Get comfortable now in your seat. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And I want you to imagine, Reggie, my engineer, that you are now 5 years from today, and your life is going according to the higher plan for you. Everything good is happening. And I want you to see yourself. What do you look like physically? Who's around you? What you're doing? And what is your emotion 5 years from today? I guess you'll be about 30 years of age or something like that, in your 30s. So take a deep breath, and I want you to imagine that. Your life going the way it is meant to be. What do you see?
Well, I saw myself working in radio as an announcer behind the scenes. The point is, I'm successful. I love what I do. I'm great at it. I have a girlfriend, a steady relationship. We've been together for some time now and will be for a while. I have friends around me, people who love me. I feel happy. I feel great. I feel on top of the world. And I've still got Love University with me.
All right, Reggie, open your eyes now, and people at home, open your eyes. So this exercise is a projection in the future in which you see yourself becoming who you want to be. Now, this is one form of empty space where you let the thoughts come to you. The intuition guides you, and you might see yourself married with children, or maybe not, maybe single, or traveling the world, or doing some career that you love. Whatever it is that you see yourself, it can be a very accurate vision. People have really visualized this in the future. They actually become these things that they come into their mind. Because again, this may come from a higher source. It could come from God or higher power that's guiding you into this future, this ideal future that you want to become. So again, if you are able to develop the empty space, this kind of thing that we call meditation or mindfulness on a daily basis, it will help you in many ways. People that do this regularly have more patience in life. They have better sleep. They have more compassion for others. And they have more desire to contribute in life as a result. And they're more at peace. So all the things that happen, the traffic jams, the problems, the disputes, seem to fade away when people can practice this kind of empty space exercise and clear the mind from all that churning thoughts. And finally, one of my favorite strategies for developing spirituality within yourself is very simple. Is to extend loving energy without expectation, which means to be kind to others without expecting anything back. Smile at other people, give them a compliment, listen to others with attentiveness, maybe help the homeless, contribute a practical aspect, give someone a ride, sometimes financial assistance, but also being there emotionally for people can be tremendous. And the key is without expecting anything back, because then you liberate yourself from the need to receive back, and you can simply express your love to others. Many times it will come back to you in different ways, maybe not from the person that you gave it to, but from others. And you start to feel this great joy and gratitude that you're able to give to the world. And you're a valuable human being because you can love. So taking all this together, the spiritual aspects of life, it's not just an airy philosophical idea. It's a very practical, concrete thing where you actually can be better at work. You can be better in your marriage or partnership. With your children, with your friends, your personal health, physical and mental, when you practice a spiritual nature, when you develop it, when you have a personal spirituality. And at the end, you realize the truth is that you are actually a spiritual person having a human experience. You are simply here for a period of time, you know, as a spiritual being. Now, whatever your beliefs are, if you go to an afterlife or something else happens to you, you're here for a period of time. And that goodness and love that you have can be expressed to others in many ways. And when you extend loving energy, you can say to other people what you like about them or think about how you can help them. And realize that every human relationship is a spiritual experience, if you think of it that way, that you are connecting with them at a higher level and there's something just beyond the pleasantness of a companionship. There is something that you can create with that individual, whether it's a love partner or a very good friend or a family member or even someone that you want to help. So all in all, spirituality, and that's what we talk about, the third part of Love University, is to love. One is love yourself, one is love others, and third is to love the higher nature in yourself, which again can be God, essence, spirit, whatever you call it. That is what will uplift you and give you strength for every single part of your life. I anticipate you've learned some valuable information today and that you can apply to your daily life, and we would love to hear from you. Our website is loveuniversity.love. You can email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's L-O-V-E-T-Y-P-E, the number 4, the letter U at AOL.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. We'd love to hear your success stories, your problems, your you know, things in life you want to work on, or if you want to be a guest on the show, we definitely would love to have you and even answer some of your questions. If you want to email us some questions, we can answer it for you live. Again, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Summer is here. We're in the summer session now. So it's time to put away your iPads, your pens, your computers, and have a little R&R, a little beach time, wherever you may be, mountain time, relaxed. Until the next time, Dr. Avila, Love University.